Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Well, this morning we're going to continue on with our series known as Jesus Is, and today we're going to dive into the bread of life. As we do, I want to tell you about a company known as REI. They're a U.S.-based company. Very similar to Mountain Equipment Co-op. So they sell outdoor gear, hiking stuff, canoeing, camping, all that kind of thing. REI, known as Recreational Equipment Incorporated, had to make a major change in 2017 to their satisfaction guarantee policy. Up until 2017 at REI, you could return anything that you have got from them, any of their products, it didn't matter how old it was or how used it was. Well, you can imagine that this led to the company running into a lot of problems. In fact, it led to the company being nicknamed the Rental Equipment Incorporated. If you do a quick internet search of REI's 100% satisfaction guarantee policy, it turns up all kinds of stories of this policy being abused. There's a mom who returned a stroller for no other reason than simply her child had outgrown it. A dad who took back an old bike rack because, well, it now clashed with the new vehicle that he bought. The person who returned REI knockoff climbing gear that they bought from China for a full refund because it still had the REI name on it, even though it was a knockoff. Well, REI's 100% satisfaction guarantee now limits customers to return products within 1 year of purchase and requires receipt for proof of purchase. Still pretty generous, if you ask me. REI's on the liberal end of this satisfaction guarantee policy. However, I think we could all agree that when we make a purchase, we love to have something similar to a satisfaction guarantee attached to it, largely because we are making an investment. And when there's a cost associated to acquiring a good or a service, we want a guarantee that that investment is not going to come back void. When you're giving up a lot, you want what you invest in to be worth it. And in a way, I believe Jesus gives us a satisfaction guarantee in John chapter 6, verse 35. If you have a Bible, you can turn to John 6. That's where our I am statement is for today. Verse 35 reads this: I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Here's what Jesus is declaring in this I am statement, and it's going to be our focus statement for here this morning. Jesus is the bread of life. I am fully satisfied in him. Sounds like a pretty good satisfaction guarantee, one that many people would desire. But I think it's really important that we unpack it and understand what Jesus truly is saying in this statement. And so to understand this a little more, we're going to unpack it by going into John chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 22. John chapter 6, verse 22 reads: The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there, and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from the Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread. After the Lord had given thanks, once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got in the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, Very truly, I tell you, You are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed a seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God require? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one who he has sent. So they asked him, what sign will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestor ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Earlier in John chapter 6, if you back up even further, Jesus had just performed a miracle for a very hungry crowd that many of us are probably familiar with. It's known as the feeding of the 5,000. In the text, it reads that there was 5,000 men who were gathered there that day to hear Jesus teach. So likely there was even more than 5,000 with women and children who could have been there as well. While the crowd was hungry, and the disciples said, we need to feed the people, but the only food that could be found were 5 loaves and 2 fish that one small boy had. Well, Jesus multiplies these 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish to the point where everyone in the crowd has everything that they could eat. It says everyone had their fill and there was still more left over. And so after the miracle, Jesus withdraws from the crowd. But where we picked up in our text, this hungry crowd now comes seeking after Jesus once again. And our initial reaction to this might be, well, that's a good thing, is it not, that the crowd would be seeking after Jesus? And in a way, yes, they are seeking him. But the rub is this. Why were they seeking Jesus? And Jesus exposes their motive in seeking him as being self-serving when he says this in verse 32. Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. When it comes to the satisfaction guarantee, it's important that you correctly understand it. Because I'm sure we have all been on the end of spending hours with customer service agents trying to fight to get a product replaced or reimbursed, only to be told that there's some fine print along the way that voids it. The crowd misunderstood what Jesus was doing through providing bread and declaring himself to be the bread of life. See, Jesus is saying, the only reason that you're seeking me is because you want more food. You desire for me to meet your physical need for substance. The crowd isn't seeking Jesus for just him, but they are seeking Jesus for the reason, what can Jesus do for me? They understand Jesus' words and actions about bread to be a guarantee for the provision of food. And this is confirmed again in the reading when the crowd asks, give us this bread always. And the time in the wilderness that they refer to comes from the Old Testament, when the Israelites had fled Pharaoh, and God was leading them to a promised land that would be filled with everything that they needed. But at the time, they were in the desert wandering around. They were hungry and had no food. And through Moses, God provides manna, which would have been a form of bread, that comes down from heaven. This is what then ends up feeding the people. And so this ask to give us bread always speaks to the fact that the crowd was only following Jesus because they were hoping for what they could get out of him. The crowd eagerly seeks Jesus, thinking that if they do, maybe they don't have to ever worry again about being hungry. That maybe he would provide what they were desiring. We could call this incentive-based following. And so this question that comes out of that to me is this. Are we seeking Jesus because we truly want a relationship with him? Or are we seeking him in hopes of what he can do for us? And when we get to a place like that, we start to kind of twist that guiding statement that we began with to read something more like this. Jesus is the bread of life. I will seek him so that he will meet my desires for, and you can fill in the blank, all of my material needs to be met, my physical needs. I will seek him so that there would be miracles in my life, so that my desire for my problems to be fixed would happen, so I could have prosperity in my life, so that I would have a better life, so that hopefully my children would learn good lessons and be good people. Following Jesus cannot be about what we hope to get out of him on a day-to-day basis. It needs to be rooted in the person of Jesus himself. See, Jesus did not come to simply be our helper or just to provide for our needs, but he came to be our bread of life, to be all that we need. And Jesus wanted the crowd to know that simply seeking his power would still leave them hungry. It would still leave them desiring more. Following Jesus is not simply about seeking his power in your life. It is more about seeking his presence. This satisfaction guarantee is not ultimately about people having something to eat when they're hungry, but it's ultimately about Jesus himself as the bread of heaven who feeds us, who fills us, and who satisfies us. And so we pick up our text again as Jesus explains further. We'll start once again at verse 35, when Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and you still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. See, here Jesus knew their greatest need was not bread, but to find him. And he wanted him to know that everything apart from him would still leave them hungry, unsatisfied, and searching. He wants the crowd to see that their felt needs are not actually their deepest need. Our needs for comfort, for safety, for provision, for significance, for love, for acceptance, for belonging, growth, and health, although are real and significant, fail in comparison to our need for Jesus as our bread of life. And this is why Jesus says, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Jesus is making a statement that says a fully satisfied life in him is where that is found, and it is not found in anything else. Everything else we might chase in this life will leave us empty. And yet we still try to find life in other forms of bread apart from Jesus. We work long hours. We accumulate wealth. Build up our friend count on social media. Increase our status. Seek achievement and acceptance. Amass more stuff. Pursuing friendships and romantic relationships. Starting a family. Aiming to get more letters in front of our name. Excelling in athletics or academics, artistic passions. And the list goes on. We think if we could just get a better, higher paying job, more respected job, if I could just get a bigger house or move to a nicer neighborhood, if I could have the latest device, if I could have better grades, if I could have a relationship, then maybe I would be more satisfied. And so we keep waiting for our circumstances to change, hoping that in turn our satisfaction will change. We always think, if I can just get there, then everything will be different. And then we get there, and it's not different. And we still desire more. As much as we pursue satisfaction, purpose, and meaning in all these different areas of life, nothing ever seems to give the satisfaction guarantee that we truly desire. And no change of work or job, no increased income, no greater number of possessions, no greater amount of relationships or bigger family will ever lead us fully satisfied in this life. And this is because we are attaching eternal meaning to things that will pass away by seeking ultimate fulfillment and joy in them instead of seeking that in God. Everything apart from God is transient and fleeting. Does it mean that those things are bad? No, I don't believe so. There are life experiences, and by no means are they meaningless. In fact, we are to experience joy within them. But they do pass away, and that is why our perspective must be on the one who gives life, not on life itself. The bread alone, the bread of life, gives the fulfillment that we need. Satisfaction in this life isn't found in some future condition that you are seeking. It's found in the person of Jesus. Scott Baer is quoted as saying, "In our materialistic culture, we often find our identity and security in what we own. But Jesus calls us to find our worth and confidence in Him alone. He wants us to be free from slavery to stuff so that we can serve Him wholeheartedly." Where are you seeking life? The satisfaction guarantee that Jesus is the bread of life is a promise that He is all that we need in this life. See, following Jesus is about receiving the person of Jesus. It's not about what He will give or what we get out of Him. It's about His presence with us. John Bloom says, "One of the most merciful gifts God can give us is a deep, keen awareness of our dependence on Him for everything." When Jesus came into this world, He entered into our brokenness. And because of that, He isn't removed from it. He isn't unfamiliar with pain or with suffering, but rather God sent His Son Jesus to walk in this world with us. And the real world includes times of sadness and pain and hurt and sorrow and suffering. And in this world, Jesus came into so that He could enter into that with us. Amidst our fears and dangers in this world, we have a God who empathizes with us. This is the satisfaction guarantee of the bread of life: Jesus' presence with us. And so for us to be transformed, to thrive, and to have a full life that Jesus talked about, it requires full dependence on his grace that is received through the person of Jesus Christ. What we really need is not for all our problems to be solved or even for all our dreams to come true, but what we really need most is God's presence with us. And so what must we do to receive that bread of life? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." Jesus' expectation isn't that you exchange anything with him. You don't have to pay for the bread of life. You just have to believe that he is the sustenance that your soul needs. But if we believe in him, we too are declaring our allegiance then to follow him. And Jesus makes it clear what that means. It isn't like the small print of a contract that tries to get us in the end, but it's actually put in pretty bold lettering from Jesus in this chapter, what it means to follow after him. Let's pick up in verse 47. "Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. The bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." Jesus goes on and continues to talk about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And it seems a little bit odd. And what is Jesus saying? What is he asking of the crowd through these statements? I believe he's making some statements similar to these. Am I ready to reorient my life around Jesus and his kingdom? Am I willing to stand firm in my faith, even if it costs me relationships and opportunities? Am I prepared to sacrifice personal dreams and ambitions to pursue after the will that God has for me? Can I accept that following Jesus may lead to ridicule, to rejection, or persecution? Do I believe that Jesus truly is the Son of God sent from heaven? Do I believe he is the bread of life, and that in him I have all that I need? Am I willing to turn away from everything else where I try to find life and allow Jesus to lead me? That would be difficult for the crowd to hear. And I think it would be difficult even for us in this day to hear. But I don't think it was because they didn't understand. I think it's because they didn't want to accept those realities. The real Jesus is not always easy to listen to or to follow. But Jesus doesn't adjust his teaching. He doesn't make it easier. He lets people take offense, and he moves on. In fact, at this point, many people that were in that crowd that went after seeking him, they choose to leave. Verse 60 and verse 66, read this. "On hearing it, many of the disciples said, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' And verse 66, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him." If you read through that passage, though, you'll notice again, Jesus doesn't chase after them. He doesn't come after begging them and saying, no, just wait. I'll simplify it a little bit more. I can make it a little bit easier. Just come and just follow me. He extends the invitation. He lets them know what it means for him to be their bread of life, to believe and declare allegiance in him. And then he allows them to respond. As Jesus looks around and watches the crowd thin out, he turns to his 12 disciples that have been with him, following him closely, and asks this question. It's in verse 67. Do you want to go away as well? Peter, one of those 12 disciples, responds in verse 68 and verse 69 with these words. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. This is one of those moments where Peter got it right. Yeah. We're no different. We can get it right and we can get it just as wrong as Peter did too. Pastor Brian Hill understands Peter's response to be saying something like this. Lord, you are not easy to hang out with. You embarrass us. Sounds like a dad. And at times you frighten us. We don't always understand you, and yet your words are the most remarkable that we have ever heard. They explain who we are and they make us understand life itself. We are satisfied by you and are held here by our desire for more of you. We have put our faith in you. You fit the promise, the prophecies, and fulfill the predictions. You are the great I am. Where else would we even think about going? So the question Jesus asked the disciples, I believe, is the same question that he would still be asking of us today. Do you want to go away as well? In the end, following Christ is a sacrifice that many individuals are not willing to make, either due to peer pressure or fear of rejection, many things else. Some of us do not want to fully surrender because we do not want to stop living in ways that go against who Jesus would want us to be. I'll invite the worship team to come. As they do, I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, which tell us, yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I may have Christ and become one with him. A choice does need to be made on if we want to choose the bread of life or bread that does not satisfy. Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Does your heart and soul long to be satisfied? Then come to the bread of life and experience the fullness of life that he has promised. Accept the open invitation that extends to all who hunger and thirst for something more profound than this world can offer. And so this morning, I just want to invite us all to respond. And I want us to respond by just leading us in a time of prayer together. A time of prayer that would lead us to reflect and confess. Maybe confess areas in our life that we might be seeking fulfillment apart from Jesus this morning. So I'd invite you to bow your head, just open your hands in a position of surrender. One that says, God, I want to give to you what I'm clinging to. So this morning, maybe for you, the place that you're finding that bread of life is relationships. A relationship that you have elevated above your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's a friendship, a dating relationship, a spouse. Maybe it's a desired relationship. Confess, Jesus, I am trying to find fulfillment in my life, in the life of another. Help me find fulfillment in my relationship with you. Jesus, you are greater than any earthly relationship. Maybe the bread of life that you've been trying to find life in is addiction. A drug, a drink, a behavior, or a habit. This morning, I invite you to just confess that you are trying to fill an emptiness inside of you with that addiction. And yes, it satisfies in the moment, but you keep going back, needing to be filled again and again because the emptiness never leaves. Allow Jesus to be your cup today. Not the addiction, but his grace and purpose in your life. Maybe for you, you're seeking fulfillment in approval from others. Whether it's in your life, through things that you pursue, maybe it's in your work, in your job, but you are seeking affirmation from others to feed you. Parents, teachers, coaches, a boss, your family. With hands open, confess that you don't want to live on the words and the opinions of others, but rather the words of your heavenly Father that speak over you. You are loved. You are accepted. You are valuable. You are chosen. You are my son. You are a daughter of the King. Maybe for some of us, that bread that's not satisfying is religion. Empty religious works. Confess that you pursue doing things for Jesus over a relationship with him. Stop trying to earn God's approval and find nourishment in the grace that is freely offered to you from God. Confess that you've been more concerned with outward appearance of your faith and ask Jesus to renew your heart from your relationship with him. Jesus, this morning, we just declare that you are our bread of life. You alone are life, and we desire to be sustained and find our fulfillment fully in you. Amen.